So maybe you can talk about the other patient types that have been treated and the data that we have there, and also where else research is going on this treatment.
So in addition to CLL, we've also treated both adults and children with ALL. Again, most B-cell ALLs express CD19. We've treated six adults so far with relapsed or refractory ALL. These patients have a dismal prognosis. They really have no effective treatment options. Even allogeneic transplant is ineffective for patients with refractory ALL. Of our first five evaluable patients, all five patients have achieved a complete remission. It really was quite dramatic. In addition to that, Steve Grupp has been treating pediatric patients with ALL at Children's Hospital in collaboration, and they've now treated a little over 26 children. The response rates for these kids with relapsed and refractory ALL is somewhat astounding, over 80%. I think on the evaluable patients, there's an 81% complete remission rate. There's really no precedent for this in relapsed and refractory ALL. In addition, many of these kids have relapsed leukemia after an allogeneic transplant. And as much as I'm explaining how poor prognosis is in relapsed ALL, once you relapse after an allogeneic transplant, the options are extraordinarily limited and prognosis terrible. Of the first 11 children he treated with relapse after allotransplant, eight go into complete remission. Really quite remarkable. Several of these patients have relapsed. While there's an 81% complete remission rate, a few patients have subsequently relapsed, but still the ongoing complete remission rate is a little over 50% at this point, which we find quite remarkable.
And what other types of cancers have been treated?
I think one of the really important parts of this technology is that if you can identify a target on a cancer cell and there's an antibody for that target, it can be placed into these chimeric antigen receptor vectors, much like a cassette. And so you can target other tumor types, of course. We are just about to open our trials with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, also targeting CD19. Others have treated small numbers of patients around the country with lymphoma. And again, for similar reasons, we think there's reason to be optimistic and are looking forward to starting to treat these patients. There are trials being developed trying to target myeloma. We have a very active, though still preclinical program trying to target AML, for instance. One of the problems with AML is trying to identify a unique target that isn't on a hematopoietic stem cell or perhaps on vascular endothelium. But we have a few leads of targets that we think will be clinically useful and hope to have clinical trials, at least in certain clinical scenarios, for AML sometime in the next year. Trials are being developed for Hodgkin's disease. And I think there are other tumor types. So at University of Pennsylvania, there's a similar CAR trial for patients with pancreatic cancer, for ovarian cancer.
Where else is this therapy being given and developed?
So now there are a number of different centers that are using similar types of approaches, and certainly there's a number of important programs out there. It's being done at Memorial Sloan Kettering. The NCI has a program, Baylor down in Houston. MD Anderson has their own approach to a very similar type of therapy. It's being done at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center in Seattle, and a number of other centers are starting to develop CAR programs with similar types of technology.
You use the word similar a lot, and I'm wondering how easy or difficult it is to standardize this. I mean, the clinical results you talked about were enough for a lot of people who are listening to this to go, "Wow, I'd like to get one of my patients on that." What would be involved in sort of FDA approval for this type of therapy?
So interestingly, I think with the really exciting results, there's now interest by pharmaceutical companies. University of Pennsylvania has entered into a licensing agreement with Novartis, for instance. I know that other pharmaceutical companies have entered into other agreements with other academic centers, and they are starting to develop processes, in fact, to commercialize something like this, to have this be a drug that could be available all over the country and, in fact, all over the world. Going into, you know, standardizing this across various centers, I think, is like any other therapy. Many different centers try and optimize how they do it, and I think that's really, really important for the field. And sharing of information, sharing of data, and trying to come up really with the best way and the best approach to do this moving forward is going to be really important for everybody.